In the gospel reading today, our Lord speaks to us this parable about the seed that was sown and the four different types of ground upon which that seed is sown. And of course, we'd all like to be able to look at our own selves and think, well, I think I'm the good ground. I should be able to bear lots of fruit for the Lord. So we have to ask ourselves, are we? We have a wonderful opportunity to really look at some of this. Let's look at what's going on up in Canada this last week and ask yourself, how would you handle that? We see that there are lots of people who heard about it and walked away. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to deal with it. Just leave me alone. There are others who were pretty excited about it when they heard what was going on. That didn't last very long. They were a little bit, and then they were back to their normal stuff. Then there were those who actually were supportive completely. They were out there with the truckers. And as soon as the police decided it was time to do something, they walked away. And then there are the truckers who, in my mind, are heroic. And they stuck with it. And they were arrested. And their trucks were impounded. And they were taken away. Now, which one are you? Just put yourself into a situation like that and ask yourself, what would I do? Because I think what we all have to wake up and recognize is that what happened in Canada is a blueprint for what's coming. Notice that the government didn't even make an attempt to deal with these people. Instead, what they did is they first outlawed anybody from standing along the roads and standing on the overpasses so that nobody could be of support. Then when they got to Ottawa, they outlawed honking of horns in Ottawa. Really? Now, I can understand some of the people right in the neighborhood there probably were a little tired of hearing horns honking. But really? And then when that didn't all work, then they outlawed people from bringing gasoline to be able to put in the trucks. It was 20 below zero. Remember, these are the people who supposedly are so concerned for the good of everybody. And then when that didn't work, they went from zero to 60 and invoked a never previously before invoked injunction and said it's a state of emergency. Really? Against your own citizens? Now, I can understand if they've got trucks parked on the roads blocking everything, that's probably against the law. But to call a national state of emergency without ever having tried to talk to these guys, without ever taking other steps, they went from nothing to everything. The part to me that is most disturbing is that the police and the military went along with this. They arrested these guys. Rather than standing up for them and saying, no, these are Canadian citizens who aren't doing anything wrong. Remember just a couple of years ago when cities were being burned and businesses were being looted and all kinds of horrible things were happening? We were told that these were peaceful protests. And that while some of what they did wasn't really right, we can understand their anger. These are people who were singing the Canadian national anthem. They were joining hands and praying the Our Father. They're terrorists. The Prime Minister of Canada literally stood up and called them misogynists and racists. Why? He talked about them being neo-Nazis. and then turned around and did exactly what Hitler would have done. Isn't it amazing how what they do is project onto everybody else what they themselves are doing? And I say all of this to be able to say, once again, I think this is the blueprint of what we're going to be seeing. Now you might say, well, but that was about something different. What about the faith? Well, let me point out to you another country that I think as Americans we would look at and say, yeah, they have a different charter and so on, but essentially it's a free country. Which, by the way, if you've been paying attention, the mainstream media decided this week that the word freedom is racist. Imagine that. The word freedom is now a racist term. These guys must have gone to school at a Jesuit place. And the way that they twist the words and play semantic games, only a Jesuit could come up with that. Anyway, but I digress. So, let me point out to you what's going on in another Christian country, which, by the way, the prime minister was raised Catholic. This is from the Australian Christian Lobby. And it says, a new law went into effect today. Well, this came out on Tuesday. And it's called Victoria's Change or Suppression Practices Prohibition Act of 2021. Here's how this new legislation can restrict your freedom to live out your faith wherever you live in Australia. This law gives broad powers to locate, investigate, and punish anyone who holds to and teaches Christian convictions on sexual orientation and gender identity. Penalties could be as much as 10 years imprisonment and $500,000 of fine. Complaints can be reported by, quote unquote, any person. Even those who are not affected can, and it can be made anonymously, even about conduct in other states. Those opposed to the Christian faith will be able to harass and silence churches, organizations, and individuals they do not agree with. It could land anyone in jail for failing to toe the line on LGBT issues, and more disturbingly, it could imprison anyone who carries out religious practices such as prayer. That is what's happening in Australia this week. So now you have to ask yourself, what's my response? Not about what's happening in Australia. I mean, yes, that's horrible. There's nothing much that we're going to be able to do about what's going on in Australia. But what's your response when this comes here? Because it's not far away. And we need to think about that. And we need to think seriously about that. I saw one trucker up in Ottawa who was interviewed, and they said to him, well, aren't you afraid that they're going to impound your truck? He said, it's a material thing. What are they going to do? He goes, well, but aren't you afraid they're going to put you in jail? He goes, they can put me in jail. They can't take away my freedom. And again, I use that example to ask you to look in your own heart and ask, what if this happens to you? Understand, this guy's truck is his business. This guy's truck, he owns. In their Emergency Powers Act, they were able literally to freeze all bank accounts. They were able to cancel insurance on the truck drivers. They're able to cancel their license. They literally threatened their children and their pets. Imagine that. We're just going to euthanize your pet. Boy, aren't these just wonderful, kind, loving people that are only interested in the good of their own citizens. Again, ask yourself, who does this really sound like? Like what we would expect from the head of a free country? Well, what do you expect in this free country? What if they were to come and say to you, aren't you afraid they're going to take away your house and your stuff? What are you going to say? That trucker said, it's just material stuff. What if they say, well, aren't you afraid they're going to put you in jail? What are you going to say? Can't take away my freedom? So these things are not just pie-in-the-sky questions. These are very real issues that are happening right now. And they're going to be coming a lot closer to us very soon. So we need to think about it. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, as we heard, talked about the various things he had suffered for the faith. He was stoned, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was shipwrecked, all these different things. And then it's interesting, he even talks about the interior things, the things that he was concerned about on the inside. One of them that he mentioned was false brethren. People who were posing as Christians, or people who called themselves Christians, but as soon as the persecutions began, they turned. They were willing to turn in St. Paul. They were willing to say, this is the guy who's stirring up all of this. He's the one who's out there preaching. Go after him. So these are people who, if we put into our own context, would call themselves Catholics. And yet, they'll turn around and stab you in the back. So are we willing to suffer for our faith? Where really is our heart? St. Paul pointed out to us that our strength is in our weakness. That's not exactly the American way, is it? But our strength is in our weakness, because then God can be strong. Now, it's interesting, if we look at the introit for the Mass today, it starts out with Exsurge Domine. Rise up, O Lord, why do you sleep? Think about that for a minute. Not only does David pray that as he's looking at what's going on, say, Lord, don't you care? Sort of like when they said that to Jesus, he's sleeping in the boat. Wake up, don't you care that we're sinking? Here's David saying the same thing. Rise up, O Lord. Wake up. Why are you asleep? Don't you care? And isn't it interesting, not just that David wrote that 3,000 years ago, but then the church took that and put that right as the very first words of the Mass for today. Because the church knows this is how we're going to feel some days. Where is God? Why is he allowing all this to happen? Because he's asking the question to us. Maybe it needs to get turned around. Maybe it's God looking at us and saying, rise up, O people, why do you sleep? Look at what's happening. It's one thing, again, to look at what's happening in society and recognize that, yeah, that's coming. It's far worse when we look at what's going on in the church and we recognize what's coming. So for us as Catholics, this is going to be a two-pronged battle. It's going to be on the natural level and on the spiritual level. Essentially, we have to handle it the same way. Spiritually, we have to turn to God. And it's going to feel like God is sound asleep, like he's not listening, he's not with us. But again, go back to Jesus in the boat. Remember what St. Thérèse of Lisieux said. Did they really think the boat was going to sink with Jesus in it? It's like, yeah, hello. Should be pretty obvious. But in our humanness, we want to shake him up and say, rise up, wake up, don't you care? He's with us. The real question is, are we with him? And that's what he's going to find out. That's what this is all about. So we look at things on the natural level, and we again can go back and say, all right, look at the four different possibilities the Lord lays out for us. If I was up in Canada right now with these truckers, which one would I be? By the way, there's another convoy in the United States that's beginning, so you do actually have an opportunity to even think about this right at home. But that's secondary. Ask yourself, where do you stand? What would you be doing? If you look at yourself as number one, two, or three in that list, then we had better start praying pretty hard. Because otherwise we recognize that when it's not a truck convoy up in Canada, but it is our faith that we're suffering for, what are we going to do? Again, we'd like to be able to say, oh, I'll stand firm for the faith. It's like, if we can't stand firm on the natural level, we're surely not going to stand firm on the spiritual level. So we need to be very serious about looking at this. Because again, just look at the times we're in. Our Lady has told us what's going to be happening. She told us at Akita in Japan in 1973, cardinal will be against cardinal and bishop will be against bishop. Look at what we've got going on in the church right now. Never in the history of the church have we seen this kind of thing happening. But never in the history of the church have we seen the apostasy the way we're seeing it now. So it is coming home. And it is going to affect every last one of us. And every single one of us is going to have to make a decision. We can be fair weather friends to our Lord. Yeah, that was nice. The seed got laid out. We didn't want to pay attention. The seed was put down, and yeah, it was kind of cool for a while, but I've got other things to worry about. The seed was put down, and I hung in there. I was doing okay, but then there was a persecution. And because I didn't really love Jesus, I believed what I heard, but I didn't love the Lord, I ran away. Or are we going to hang in there? I would recommend to you perhaps reading Father Sissek's book, He Leadeth Me, when he talks about what happened to him. Because when they threatened him, remember he had gone into Russia, into communist Russia, and he was captured. He was put into solitary confinement. They brought him down and said, you have to sign all these things that you have said, you know, because they put him under all these interrogation things. They took what he said and twisted it all, made it say something that he didn't say. And he said, I can't sign that. And they said, you stupid American, then we're going to kill you. He said, oh, give me the pen. Signed them all. He said, that's all it took, one little threat. So this is a man who went into a communist country. He was preaching the gospel. He was captured. He was put in prison. And as soon as they threatened his life, he wimped out. And he's the one who admits it. And he said, I realized what I did, and I swore that I would never do it again. And he said, then his group, when they were up at a gulag up in Siberia, his group was wrongly accused of something, and they brought them out, and they were going to kill them. And he said, all of a sudden, I'm looking down the barrel of a rifle, and all of my good intentions went away. So again, we need to learn the lesson from these people who have been through it. Don't think that we're above it. The only way that we can remain faithful is not about what we have in our head. It's about what we have in our heart. It requires love of Jesus Christ. And love of Jesus Christ requires prayer. And that requires a relationship. It is the only way that we will stay faithful to the end. Otherwise, we will have 101 different ways of wimping out. So don't think that you can just sit there and say, oh, I'll remain faithful to the end. Father Sizek said the same thing. He wimped out when the pressure was on. So we need to learn. We need to recognize that this is a reality and that this could affect all of us. And the only way is recognizing our own weakness. Learn the lesson from St. Peter, who said, I will never deny you. 3 hours later, he had denied the Lord 3 times because he was relying on his own strength. Only when we know that we could deny the Lord, only when we are weak can God be strong in us, because only when we're weak will we let him be strong in us. Maybe that's what he's doing right now, is helping us all to recognize how weak we really are, because then we will actually turn to him in prayer. We will trust him, we will give ourselves over to him, and we will actually love him. It's not just a matter of saying, gimme, 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 gimme when I go to prayer. It's a matter of truly loving Jesus, so that when push comes to shove, love is not going to give out. You wouldn't turn on your children because you love them too much. You're not going to turn on the Lord when you love him that much. If we don't have that love, we can turn in an instant. So that's the challenge. Look on the natural level, ask yourself again, got those 4 possibilities laid out for us. Where would I be today? And then let's project ahead a little bit, because it's coming to the church. And when push comes to shove, and your faith and your soul are on the line, what's your response?